The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So I think that to support Buddhist practice, mindfulness practice, meditation practice, the Buddhist path, one of the great teachers is simplicity. To think of simplicity as teaching us something. So to be simple first, to find situations where we can just be simple with what circumstances are happening, simple with the conversation, simple with the activity that we're doing, simple just being alive, just keep it simple. And then see what happens. And one of the things that happens is that it can be very hard to keep things simple. And there can be a lot of momentum in the mind, a lot of activity in the mind about things that need to happen, that should happen, things that shouldn't happen, that important they don't happen. A lot of desires can operate, a lot of fears can operate, ambitions. And so with the reference point of just being simple, you can start seeing all these other voices and beliefs in the mind and start questioning them. It's sometimes hard to question them if we're already living a complex life and running around doing a lot of different things. But to keep it simple. And it's also a teacher, because simplicity is one of the ways that the heart or the mind can come to rest. One of the goals, I think one of the great goals of any spiritual life is the experience of peace, being at peace. And peace is something which is simple. If it's not simple, it's not going to be peaceful. Even though our life around us might be complex and all that, the experience of peacefulness that we can have in our hearts and our minds and our body, that experience of peacefulness comes with simplicity of being, a simplicity. And so one way that simplicity is a teacher is it kind of points us back to possibility of being at peace with what is, some inner peace. There's a great practice to experiment with. It's not a practice to use in all times and places, but you could use it in certain circumstances. Maybe you'll know when to use it. And that's to use the concept or even the phrase, like the idea that right now, nothing has to happen. Try that. I once taught this many years ago. And I said, I was teaching an ongoing class, and I said, for the next week, find a situation where you can just be in the situation and just approach it as if nothing needs to happen. And so this couple who in the class, he was a photographer, and he had a very expensive camera that they were somewhere on the cliffs on the beach or something, climbing over rocks or something, and maybe his kid was holding the camera or something, and the camera dropped and broke on the rocks. And his wife turned to him and said, "This is the time." Nothing needs to happen. And he told me a story with great gratitude. It's like it saved all kinds of difficulties and problems in his family life. Nothing needs to happen. But try it out, in different circumstances, and see what happens to you. See what happens with the tremendous, maybe addiction. It can feel like an addiction, that something needs to happen. Or tremendous, maybe the feeling is, yes, I know nothing needs to happen, and that means nothing is supposed to happen. stay away from me. And maybe it's better to say nothing needs to happen means nothing needs to happen in any particular way. So you just gotta allow things to unfold and see what happens. You might learn a lot about being at peace with how things are. You might learn that more often than people realize, we don't have to be in control or figure out or fix or make things fit some idea of what we want it to be. And also the whole dimension of peace that I think is so nourishing and meaningful for the inner life belongs much closer to that realm of life where we're not trying to fix and make things happen. Nothing needs to happen. It's a very profound thing. Also, from that place, from that perspective that nothing needs to happen, and if we're relaxed about that, then you might be surprised that you'll find other sources of motivation inside of you than the surface motivations, the place in the mind that has judgments and ideas and expectations and desires and aversions. You know, that's a complicated world. But if the mind is relaxed, you can find motivations that are deeper than that. For example, motivations of compassion or freedom, I think, are much deeper than, you know, the surface of the mind. And there's a lot of people who don't trust the depth of their motivation. They're afraid if they do nothing, if everything, nothing needs to happen, they'll be a couch potato. They'll be they'll just sit there, nothing will happen, they won't do anything. They won't be able to take care of themselves, they won't be able to respond to life, and heaven forbid, no one will like them. And or whatever their particular concern is. But to be simple, at peace, and to really be at rest where they nothing needs to happen, you might be surprised at what does happen. That that makes space for something deep inside to come forth. And it might be different than what you expect, but chances are is that it'll be significant what comes forth from that kind of place. And I use the word significant in a careful way because it might not necessarily be beautiful, but whatever comes from the depths of us is significant. And it needs our attention, needs our care, needs to kind of be faced and dealt with and worked with. And so once you have start with nothing needs to happen, and then you see what does happen, and then you might have a better understanding of what needs to happen after that. Oh, I need to address this deep fear. I need to address this deep beauty, this beautiful joy that's somehow deep inside. The love that I feel, or something. There's a variety of things that might speak or come forth when the heart or the mind is at rest and at peace. I think one of the fears that many people have implicitly is the fear that their quiet, natural, deep motivations are not going to be adequate to get through this life. That somehow we have to, that part of our mind, the surface part of the mind that has some sense of self, that tries to fit everything into categories and boxes and tries to know ahead of time everything, how things are supposed to be, or the world of fear and anxiety, the world of desire and ambition, the world of hostility and aversion, that's how we make ourselves safe, that's how we make ourselves everything okay. But if you put all that to rest, people can have a very strong sense that nothing's going to support them anymore, nothing's going to come forth. And one of the reasons for that is that when the heart and the mind is deeply at peace, at rest, when it's simple, place of support, the place of motivation, the response to the world, is not going to be visible. You're not going to see it. It's not like a thing or a place or a city. It's invisible because it's not there until it's there. You know, you're not going to know what you're going to say until maybe you say it. You're not going to know how you're going to feel until you feel it. If you look to see how you feel before you feel, it's invisible. If you look to see what you're going to say before you're in the conversation, it's invisible, it's not there. So to trust this, you know, to have a deep trust of what the innate intelligence, innate response is adequate to take care of ourselves and cut through life. It doesn't have to be brilliant. It doesn't have to make us the most popular person on the block. It just has to be enough. Our personality just has to be enough so that we can live in this world peacefully and wisely and hopefully in a way that helps other people as well in the process. So I think of these mornings here at IMC on Wednesdays as being simple mornings. And this might, if you come back another Wednesday, this might be a good place to experiment with this little practice of nothing needs to happen. And see what happens when nothing needs to happen. So, thank you.